Good morning again. I just want to say how glad we are to be here with you. And we've enjoyed the last few weeks just settling down and getting our feet wet. And now we're ready to dig in and just to be a part of this church and to join you as this church is your family. And we're just excited to be here. And we're thankful for the call to ministry that you've given to us. And it's a very humbling thing, and it's a very just thankful to God for that. So I just want to say thank you to all of you for that. I want to say also thank you for all the different ways you've come alongside us, taking care of us. I know I said it a couple weeks ago. I just need to say thank you for that, and thank you for allowing us to start today, giving us a couple weeks just to get on the ground and to get going. So we're glad to be here, and we're looking forward to serving with you and to looking into God's Word together with you. This morning we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there, and we're going to be going in and out of that this morning. Also, in your bulletins this morning, I don't know if this helps you. I'm the type of person that needs to have some things in front of me to help me think and to help me process. I did provide some questions in there for you. Feel free to use them during the service, or if you want to use them after, as you look at what we've talked about again later on, maybe perhaps. This morning we're going to be talking about imitating Christ. There's a gentleman that I've come to appreciate some of his writings. His name is Paul Borthwick. He wrote a book called A Mind for Missions. And in that book, he teaches something that has really challenged me and caused me to think like a missionary, but not a missionary overseas, just to try to live every day as a missionary. And it's a book that I would want to encourage anyone to read, A Mind for Missions. And his premise in the book is that God called the disciples to be followers of him. And he starts off and he looks at Matthew chapter 4, verses 19 to 20. I'll just read that really quickly. It says, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and they followed him. Well, based off of that understanding, the author of that book, he's come to the conclusion that he believes that there's really two types of believers. And I'll share with you those definitions. He says there's the worldly believer and there's the world Christian. The worldly Christian and the world Christian. This is what he says about the worldly Christian. He says the worldly Christian is one who accepts the basic message of Christianity, but whose lifestyle, priorities, concerns are modeled after self-centered preoccupation. He also says that a worldly Christian is rigid in his or her thinking. He says their mind is closed to certain aspects of God's will, and their attention is turned inward. Then his second type of the Christian is the world Christian. He says the world Christian is a day-to-day disciple for whom God's global cause has become the integrating, overriding priority for all that he has to them. And like disciples should, they actively investigate all of what their master's great commission means. Then they act on what they learn. He says, world Christians are Christians whose life directions have been solidly transformed by a world vision. Now, I really embrace his two definitions. I find them very useful. I believe that one of the reasons that Christians struggle in their desire to follow Christ is that they haven't truly embraced the idea that we're called to imitate Christ. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. The life that imitates Christ is what God desires out of us. And the church in Ephesus, it struggled with this concept, and that's why Paul writes to them, and that's what we're going to be looking about. And my heart for us as a church is that we would grow together, that we would be committed to following and imitating Christ. And I believe that as this happens, that God is going to continue to grow this church and is going to continue to grow each of us. Now, our passage today was written to the church in Ephesus. Ephesus, it was a city on the western shore of what is now called Turkey. And it was originally, it was built by the Greeks as made to be a trade route. And at the time that we're looking at where Paul is writing to them, this area is going through a major economic decline. Another interesting part about this area is that this is one of the places where one of the seven wonders of the world, the ancient world, was found. And the wonder that's found there is the temple of the female goddess Artemis, who is also known as Diana. She was widely worshipped. Many would come to Ephesus. They would travel in and out. Many would come, they would want to worship Artemis, and they would want to buy idols of her. The city of Ephesus was a diverse city. It was filled with all sorts of different influences. And Paul, he comes to the city to be a missionary to them. And as he comes to them, he is used by God mightily. And one of the side effects of that is that the idol makers that were there, many of them went out of business. Many of them lost a lot of their streams of income. And the church there, the church and the believers, they had to come to terms with this. Who would they follow? Would they follow Christ, or would they follow their old ways? And that's what we're going to be looking at today, Paul's writings to them. If you've got your Bibles in front of you, Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 20. Let's look at it right now. Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that this morning as we look at your word, I pray that you would use it to shape each of us, cause us to come back to you, cause us to remember, to recall what you've done for us. This morning I pray that each of us, you would open our hearts, open our minds to hear from your word and to hear the good things that you have for us. Amen. Well, this morning I'm hoping that we're going to ask ourselves one question. And the question is, who am I following? Am I imitating the ways of the world, or am I imitating Christ? And as we wrestle with this, I believe that we're going to see that God has provided us a number of things for us to follow after him. In the 1990s, Michael Keaton, he starred in a movie called Multiplicity. He played a character named Doug. I don't know if you've seen the movie, but Doug, he gets really busy. And to cure his busyness, he decides to clone himself. And then his clone decides to clone himself. And then that clone decides to clone himself. Well, every successive clone that Doug makes becomes a little duller, a little less bright than the original. And it becomes just kind of funny to watch them go around and to copy each other and to try to make sense of life. In essence, they make life more complicated. Well, this idea of trying to copy and copy and copy and copy, that's not what God intends. We learn in this passage this morning that God has intended for us to be following after him. There's another person, just to talk about artists. There's an artist by the name of Steve Taylor. He's currently a producer of a lot of today's popular Christian music, and 20 years ago, he himself was an artist. 20 years ago, he had a song called Clone, and in the song, he talked about how all too often people in the church, when they think about what it means to disciple somebody and to be the person that God's called them to be, he poked fun at the idea that people want people in their discipleship to talk and to look and to act all alike from each other. When we talk about what it means to imitate Christ, that too is not what it means to imitate Christ. When God's word teaches us to imitate God, it's not teaching us to all look alike. God's word is teaching us to pursue his standards, to pursue his will, and to pursue his heart. And God, he's made each of us unique, each of us different, and it's through that uniqueness and through that differentness that he wants to use us to reach the world. Now, our passage today, probably like this huge passage to look at, but it's a huge passage, but it is so rich in insights. And I want to encourage you, if you desire to be in pursuit of God's heart, then this passage has some great stuff for you to take in. The opening two verses that we looked at, they call us to be imitators of God. And there's so many things in this world for us to imitate. We could maybe want to imitate what we see on TV. We could maybe want to imitate our neighbors. Or I think even worse, we could maybe want to be Elvis imitators. But that's not what God has called us to do. He has called us to follow after Christ. And because God loves us so much, He knows that in His infinite wisdom, that the best course for us is to follow after Him. He tells us that following anybody else, anything else, will not do. The word imitate, it literally means to mimic or to copy. I want to encourage you, if you want to imitate, if you want to copy somebody, then copy Jesus. The idea of imitating God and not imitating the world, it's not a new idea. Go back to Deuteronomy 18:9, and God tells His people this about the land that they're going to enter. He says, "When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there." And if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, we hear how some have become imitators of the church leaders and most importantly of the Lord. Well, in both of these passages, what we learn is that learning to follow God and not the world is what God applauds. You see, the life that we're called to live is one that will give love away to others. And the number one way that we can love our Lord is to love others. If we're to be imitators of God, we will take every step of life as if we're walking in love. And this walk of love, that starts with love towards God, followed by love towards people. If people see that we live the walk that we talk about, they're going to see that our relationship with God is so serious, and they're going to take us serious, and they're going to take our God serious. Let's look at verses 3 to 20. In verses 3 to 20, there's four ways that God gives to us, there's at least four ways, of how we can live this all out. And the first thing that I believe that God wants us to know is that there should be no immorality in us. Verses 3 to 5, let's look at them again. "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Immorality and impurity are expressions of greed. Because those who have lavished themselves in sins are serving solely themselves, which is contrary to what sacrificial love is all about. Immorality, according to the dictionary, is this. It is the quality of not being in accord with the standards of right or good conduct. It is the pursuit of evil and wickedness. And for us, it shows up as people live lives filled with morally objectionable behavior. God's standard is holiness. He has no room whatsoever for the smallest degree of sin. Dirty thoughts, dirty deeds, they have no place in imitating God. God's standard has been set for us. No sexual immorality, not even joking about it. And with that in mind, there shouldn't even be any inappropriate chatter. God's standard is set so solid that there is no room at all for compromise. We might think we can bend or we can tweak God's standard to better fit what our culture finds acceptable, but there is no wiggle room in God's morality. Wrong is wrong. God looks at those who have aligned themselves with these sins in the same way as He does those who worship false idols. On the flip side of all of this, we are encouraged in verse 4 to speak to people with words of thanksgiving. If we're filling our minds with junk, this is what we know. We know that we're destroying ourselves spiritually. And God's desire is not just to tell us what to do, but it's to protect us. He does that out of love. Now, I believe that we all need to be discerning about what we take in, what we listen to, what we watch. And I think that's God's heart for us. I'll share with you two places that have been helpful for me along the ways as far as knowing what to listen to, what to watch. I worked with teenagers for 12 years, so a lot of my basis is working with teenagers. But for you parents, for you that have children, the Center for Parent and Youth Understanding, CPYU, and Plugged In, which is a magazine put on by Focus on the Family, PluggedInOnline.com. Both of those organizations, they have great tools that you can use to look at, to find out what is going on in our culture today. And for those of you that aren't parents, I would encourage you to look at this as well, because there's a lot of things that you might find about the things that you're interested in as well. Well, let's look at our second thing. Our second thing is found in verses 6 to 10. And it's a reminder that we should be on our toes for those that would deceive us. "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not partner with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. We're told here that there are those out there who would teach us things that they would portray as teachings of God. But in essence, they're the farthest thing from what God wants for us to know. And God's word for us is clear here, that God is going to bring judgment to those who teach counter to his word. In light of that, he instructs us not to partner with them. God reminds us that we were once like those who teach opposed to him, but since coming to faith and since hearing the truth, we are no longer. As those who know the truth, we're called to live in it. We're called to be people who pursue goodness, righteousness, and truth. In our world, it's filled with deceptions and lies at every corner. People want to tell us that morality is up to each individual. People want to tell us that the traditional biblical worldview is outdated and needs to be tossed. People want to tell us that we need to be tolerant of all the different world religions that are out there. People want to tell us, media wants to tell us, you need the biggest of this, you need the newest of that, you need the most expensive of that. Those teachings, those are so far from what is true. Those are so far from God's word. The third thing in this passage that I want to pay attention to is from verses 11 to 14. And it teaches us not to just be aware of that which is evil, but to be opposed to it. 11 to 14, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The word expose, which is used in verse 11, it means to tell one their fault. And we're told in this section of Scripture that we're to take action and we're not to be just passive. All too often, when we hear about something bad that's happened or something that's evil, our reaction is just to turn our backs to it and to shun it. And we're told here to do more than that. And tucked away in this passage is this short little three-line poem that you're trying to maybe figure out, why is that there? Well, scholars, they agree that this poem, this wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you, that this was probably an early song of the church. It was probably used during some of their early church's baptismal settings. Pastor and author John Stott, this is what he says about this poem. He says, here our former condition in Adam is graphically described in terms of sleep, death, and darkness, from which Christ has rescued us. Conversion is nothing less than a waking out of sleep, rising from death, and being brought out of the darkness into the light of Christ. And no wonder we've been summoned to live a new life in consequences. Be encouraged with this. As we're brought out of darkness, let's let our new life in Christ shine and not reflect our dark past. Let's go to the fourth thing that we're going to look at this morning. It's from the remainder of the passage. It's Paul. He's cautioning us how to live in this world. And he wants us to live in this world, not to try to get away from it, because we can't get away from it. He wants us to know how to live in it with wisdom and with discernment. Paul writes, he says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, with hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first three things that we looked at in this back half of the passage, they talk about what God's standard is. It talks about that we should be aware of those who would try to deceive us. And we talked about how we're called to oppose evil. Well, now Paul, he gives us this caution how to navigate in the world. And he reminds us to pursue wisdom and to pursue God's will and to take advantage of every opportunity that's given to us. Every opportunity that's given to us is a gift from God. And pursuing every moment is probably something we don't always do. You ever gone shopping on like Black Friday, like the day after Thanksgiving? You've got the crowds waiting outside the store, and you've got all the stories that you hear about on the news about people getting trampled on, like as they're trying to go into the store. Black Friday is a day that I don't want to go shopping. It's a day that I want to sit home and watch something on TV, watch sports or something. But there's something interesting that I think we can learn as we think about the people that go shopping on Black Friday. The people that go shopping on Black Friday, they're very productive people. They know exactly what deals. They know exactly where to go in the store. They use and they make great use of their time. And Paul, he's trying to teach us here that we should kind of approach life with that same sort of energy. We kind of need to ask ourselves, you know, how much time do I waste watching TV, being unproductive, being wastefully busy? And Paul, in this passage, he gives us some examples how not to waste time. He tells us not to get drunk. He tells us not to. He tells us to be filled with God's Spirit. And simply, he tells us that because you can't be filled with the Spirit if you're filled with something else. And at the same time, he reminds us that we're called to worship God. And we're called to thank God for every blessing that He's given to us. If our eyes are fixed on Christ, how much easier will it be for us to imitate Christ? In this passage, there's a lot of law that we can walk away saying, I heard a lot of do this, a lot of do that, don't do this, watch out for that, that's evil, that's bad. And there is truth in that. There is a lot of that in this passage. But God tells us all this stuff because He wants us to know what He finds acceptable and what He finds repulsive. He knows that if we walk in the things that are opposed to Him, that we're going to be hurting our relationship with Him. He tells us this with words of love. His love for us is found at the cross, and that's where this passage began. It began by reminding us that at the cross, Christ loved us, and He gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. I want to encourage you this morning. Be reminded that God loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you that you could live. And this morning, He's given us words so that we can live. Be reminded that God keeps giving and giving and giving and giving. Today, we've been reminded He has given us some really good stuff in His Word so that we can walk with Him. I tried to throw out in the title of the sermon, I tried to throw out in your bulletin, a question for you to think about. And my question was, who are we following? And that needs to be a great question that we ask ourselves. Am I following Christ? And in my pursuit of following Christ, secondly, I need to also ask, am I following Christ or am I following a watered-down copy of Christ? Am I following something that's just somewhat resembles Christ? Because we need to ask that question as well. And I believe answering no to either of those questions, that's going to show us a need for a renewal in our relationship with Christ. And Christ wants that from each of us. This morning, it's so important that all of us know that Christ welcomes all of us back to Him with arms wide open. Any of us who, you know, we've stumbled or we've walked away from Christ, Christ wants to welcome us back. Know this also. Know that we will never measure up to God's perfect standard. We will never do that perfectly. Only Christ can do that. And what He asks is that we would follow after Him along the way. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for how You call us back to Yourself and how You've provided so much for us. You provided ultimately with sending Christ to die for us and to bring life to us. And as we live in this world, you still want to give us and give us and give us. You want to show us how to live. You want to show us how to follow You. I pray that all of us would just come to know You more and more and want to follow You more and more. Amen.